And Arthur, your name is up here now. First, I want to thank, in particular, the title of my talk is Age is a Predictor of Engagement and Retention in HIV Care by Women of Color. I have no relationships to disclose, and I want to thank Arthur as being the head of the Evaluation and Technical Assistance Center at Albert Einstein College of Medicine, and Jessica Xavier, who is our project officer at HRSA. Arthur created the most perfect databases for us, and if you ever get a chance to work with him, he does such a fantastic job. So there's good data. So the SPINS project, the Special Progress Project of National Significance, one was funded in 2009 to engage access to and retention in quality HIV/AIDS care. So as Arthur mentioned, we collected data from around 9 sites. Most of them were urban, and 3 of them were rural. Okay, so the Women of Color study was a prospective intervention study based on convenient sample of women who were reachable, but who were not currently in HIV care across the 9 states. We began enrolling women of color in November 2010, and we completed baseline data in 2013. There were 5 levels of care at which women came in with. Some had been newly diagnosed but had never been in HIV care. Some had been previously diagnosed but never in care. The third is previously in care but changed care provider. And so you can think of big places like LA, New York, Chicago, Miami, where women can shop around for HIV care. And finally, lost to care, those women who were receiving care but had not had an HIV care visit in 12 months or longer. Okay, so our research questions were really about age and how age plays a role in the retention and the viral load suppression among women of childbearing years. And secondly, do enhanced services for women who are aged 18 to 24 help keep them in care and keep them virally suppressed? And why we care about bifurcating these two groups is until you hit the age of 25, you get enhanced services through Ryan White funding. So one of the hopes of an initiative like this is to keep younger women in care, even though it's more service intensive. So for this analysis, we looked at baseline data when women first came into care, and then we looked at the 12-month outcomes. So the variable domains that we looked at were sociodemographic, HIV illness related, risk behaviors, women's experience with battering, which is a CDC tool that looks at intimate partner violence. The fourth domain, self-assessed health, using the CDC health-related quality of life 14. So it's 14 items that assess health, mental health, and other factors. And there's a general question at the very beginning that is asked in like every single study of health. How would you rate your health? Excellent, very good, good, fair, poor. So these, we're able to look at our data that were not in this presentation and compare it to national norms. The fifth domain, 12-month outcomes, we were looking at viral load suppression and retention in care. And retention in care is defined as 2 or more visits that are at least, is it 60 or 90 days apart? They need to be not contiguous to each other. 90. So we wanted to have a measure of, we wanted to look at these two issues. It's important from a policy perspective because the White House Office on HIV/AIDS has as its gold standard to have every American with HIV to be virally suppressed. We're only at about 25% in the United States, so we'll take a look and see how our data compare to the virally suppressed in the United States. Okay. Demographics. So in the entire study, there were 921 women enrolled. In our cohort that we looked at of women of childbearing age, there were 549. And for the first few slides, these are broken out into age groups. So there was no real difference in ethnicity. Women who were older tended to form intimate partner relationships. Unstable housing seemed to vacillate over time, but again was not significant across the three groups. High school graduates, lowest among older women, but again, not significant. And about two-thirds or a little more had any insurance. So they came into the program primarily having Medicaid. There were a couple that were private pay, but we're really talking about a Medicaid population here. Okay, so these are the five care status levels at the time that they came into the study. And here we see really big differences. And where the big differences are in that HIV care status is that thumbnail summary, younger women are newly diagnosed and new to care, and older women are transferred sporadic, lost to care. And that makes, fortunately, conceptual sense to us. Have you ever received an AIDS diagnosis? There weren't many who had received an AIDS diagnosis that they could report, but again, that's a function of age. The older you are, the more likely you are to at some time acquire an AIDS diagnosis. Are you on antiretroviral therapies? Again, the younger women, not so much. The older women, 40 to 45% were. We also asked them questions about what they knew about their care. And since viral load is the gold standard, I'm including that here, do you know your viral load? And again, very few women, it's not significant across the age group, but if under 20% of women know their viral load, that's not a good outcome, and that's not good. People need to know what their viral load is, because once they know that they're suppressed, they also know that they're going to have better health and they're not going to transmit HIV. So I recoded the first general health variable that came from the CDC, health-related quality of life. Excellent and very good, good health and fair and poor. Again, actually surprising to us that the younger women didn't say that they were healthier. And there's no difference among these groups. What's interesting to us is that overall, 40% of women said that their health was fair or poor at the time they came into care. So we then asked them for, have you felt unhealthy in the past 30 days? Has pain interfered with your activities in the past 30 days? Have you gone without sleep during that time? There are a number of other items, but these are ones that had been of interest to us and should be interesting to providers. The older you get, the more likely you are to have unhealthy days. And then that also is a finding that we would expect to hear. Pain interfering with your daily activities, again, increases with age. And Arthur and I and some of the others in the team have talked about what role does pain play. We're still not sure how to disentangle it, but it's meaning something to women that we need to explore more fully. And finally, days without sleep. The older you are, the more likely you are to say, I don't get enough rest. Okay, so the risk factors are high. You'd expect among older women that more of them would have tried alcohol, and indeed that's the case. You'd expect older women to be more likely to be exposed to tobacco and to use tobacco, and in fact that's the case. You'd expect substance abuse to also increase with exposure. And this is notable to us in that There's only less than 13% who talk about substance use at baseline. And for the women who come in 35 to 34, it's nearly half. And what that says to us is that what's going on is that as women age, and age is a confounder here, but as women age, they're more likely to be exposed to adverse stuff like substances. Sexual risk behaviors, no difference among the groups. And the WE batter is the women's experience of battering from the CDC. And it's not significant across the groups, but again, you have very high rates, an overall rate of nearly 30% of women who tested positive for intimate partner violence. Okay, now we get to the outcomes, some of the good stuff. Okay, so were women retained in care? Did they have two visits at least 3 months apart? And pretty much we were able to retain women in HIV care, and they came back for their care. Were they able to achieve viral load suppression? And we were really happy. This is higher than a national figure, but again, we're focusing on retaining women of color in HIV care. Instead of there being 24% virally suppressed, what we're seeing here is an overall percentage of 58% of women who were virally suppressed. So this is programmatically really important, and should add value to what HRSA then can do in the future to develop good programs to retain women in care. All right, so I then asked, well, what happened to women's health over this 12-month period of time? And I literally subtracted what they reported at baseline from what they reported at 12 months. And did they report worse general health, same health as they had at baseline, or better health? And women didn't have access to what they had told us 12 months before. And the big surprise to me is that didn't move, and it doesn't differ across groups. So 30% said their health was worse, but they're coming back to care. About a little under half said the same, and about a quarter better. I did a lot of analyses looking at this particular variable, and I've been unable to disentangle it from some of the factors that I thought might have an impact on self-assessed health, like sleep days or days that you had physical activity limitation. So again, I'm not quite sure why we're finding these findings, but they merit further research. Okay, and in the last analysis, I'd analyzed the data in a couple of ways, but what I wanted to do is a logistic regression, including all the important variables that had been significant in earlier analyses, and look at the role of, look at viral suppression as an outcome. So no viral suppressed, yes viral suppressed. And in the hierarchical logistic regression equation that I made, I put age in first to try and remove the confounding effects of age. This is the final model. But what we see, what's associated with viral load suppression, is age, substance use, and I'm sorry, these are the unstandardized coefficients. And when I looked closely at the substance use variable, substance use is also a proxy of ability to get care, to stay in care, and really deserves its own special look at, because these are the types of women who are more likely to have interference in HIV care, because their substance use seeking will take precedence over HIV care. When I looked at retention between baseline and 12 months, there were no significant differences, so I didn't report them here. Okay. So our conclusions, age is important in distinguishing among a woman's stage of prior and current HIV care status. And what it says to us is that we still need to develop special programs depending upon where women are in the life course, with a particular emphasis on the youngest women, and to HRSA having the Ryan White funding, being able to provide extra services to women under the age of 25 is very important to continue, because they take sometimes extra amount of work to retain and care. And we're about to start looking at other data, looking at service intensity and outcomes in care. Secondly, the use of substances is related to older age not being virally suppressed, and highlighting the need for early education and intervention to prevent or reduce substance use. And thirdly, just have to acknowledge that age is both a predictor and a confounder with outcomes for viral suppression and retention, and it's something that we have to work with closely in our statistical models as we're developing them. So, thank you.
We had been asked to hold questions till the end, but since there's time now, rather than wait till the end, if people have questions they want to ask Betsy, please feel free to do so. Yes?
I was just curious about how you actually asked about their knowledge of viral load. Was it just a yes, no, did you know it, or did you actually
ask? Yeah, and it was asked several times during the study. So there were two questions that were asked. One was, do you know your viral load? And then secondly, what is it? And so, honestly, women would say, yes, I know my viral load, and then wouldn't be able to fill it in. So that's why we ended up using a measure of actual viral load as an outcome variable. And I think just like CD4 took a long time to get through to women, as viral load becomes the gold standard over the next several years, probably many more women will know what viral load means and why it's important.
So in your initial slides where it said something like 20% said they knew their viral load, was it just that they had said yes?
Yes, it was the yes question. And so the actual viral load was answered at a much lower rate.
Just to clarify something, because it may not be apparent in Betsy's slide, the outcome is not self-report, but comes from the chart abstraction, the medical record. So the survey data is where we got the knowledge question, the viral suppression is from the medical chart.
Yes.